It's my privilege tonight to share in God's word with you, so will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for tonight, Lord. We pray that now that you will come and speak to us, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. I pray that you speak through me in my weakness, Lord, and that you will be here tonight. We pray these things in your name. Okay, so we all have a story. When we trust in Jesus, our story heads a new direction. We have heard Daniel's and Zach's story tonight. My story is that I grew up 10 minutes down the road here in Peakhurst. Since the age of 5, my parents started to bring me to this church. When I turned 13, I became a Christian at a youth camp that Colin and Vicky Judge ran. From the age of 13 all the way through to year 12, I had this great youth leader that worked with me through that whole time, teaching me about Jesus, how to live for him, and what it looked like. He continued to walk with me through my adulthood. Even up to now, he's a good support and friend of mine. When I left school at year 12, I became an apprentice baker, pastry cook. Seemed a good decision at the time. Now, in hindsight, probably not. Night shift is not that fun. My wife always says you can tell a baker they're always really skinny and pasty white because they never see the sun or eat. So I did that for 4 years, four and a half, and then after I finished that apprenticeship, I got married to my wife, Michelle. I was 22. After I got married, I really started to understand more what it meant to live and serve Christ. We headed on a few short-term mission trips overseas. Ash and Kaz, who've been speaking the last few weeks, decided that it would be a great idea to start praying for us to head overseas. Unfortunately, God listened, and that's the process that we started to take on. We started to get a mission organization. We started to do training, raise funds. And after a long time, we decided, in the middle there, we had our son, Jamie. Forgot about him. So we packed our bags and our lives up into 5 boxes, and we headed overseas. People used to ask us, how long are you going to go for? And we used to say, as long as God wants us to go, we will be there. Always thinking that it would be 10 or 20 years. But that was not God's plan for us. Within 18 months, we were back. We came back for different reasons. We had our second child, Leah. And then for the next kind of two and a half years, I personally felt like we just wandered around in the desert. Just not really knowing where to go, finding it really hard to find a job, not really knowing what God wanted for us and where he wanted to go after that. And then after that, they were suckers and they hired me here. So I now have a great job here. I get to hang out with youth, pretend like I'm 15 again, even though I feel like I'm 55 sometimes, and hang out. And they even give me the privilege of having a shot at the title tonight at preaching to you guys. So unlucky for you. All right. So everybody's life story is a little bit different. We all come to know Jesus in different times in our lives, and we all have those times in our lives where we feel like we're walking around the desert, not really knowing where we're going. But when we trust in God, we know that God has a great plan for our lives. We have a relationship with him where he guides us, leads us, and carries us around in the desert when he needs to. As we look at Colossians 3 tonight, I want each of us to be thinking about our life's own stories and reflecting on the great thing that God has done for us. In Colossians 3, Paul firstly describes our blessing in Christ, the new life that we have. In verse 1, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you die, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." So I want us to notice in this passage how Paul really emphasizes our new status as believers, our position in Christ, which requires a new focus, a new way to be different, for us not to be us the same, for our life stories to be heading this way, and once we are with Christ, we're heading this way with him. It says, "Since you have been raised with Christ," in verse 1, "and for you have died." Our dying with Christ symbolizes a drastic change from our old life. Having been raised with him now points forward to a new life, just like the boys shared, and they're going to go over to the baptistry later, and that's the symbol that we're seeing tonight, that they go under the water and they're dead to their old life, and they come up and they're raised with Christ again. And then in verse 3 it says, we are now hidden with Christ. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There's a sense that our relationship with Christ is hidden. It's not evident to everyone around us, nor to the false teachers that the Colossians had to deal with. It's not until Christ appears that we'll be unveiled for all to see. Occasionally, there's a story in the media that comes out where there's some old dude living on the beach in a shack, and he dies, and they find out that he has millions and millions of dollars, and he's been shunning all the luxuries to the world. This is kind of the same as where our lives. We're hidden, and that we have a glorious future as Christians. Outsiders may mistake us for being weak, insignificant, fools for living for Christ, little knowing that we are tied to the ruler of the universe and are destined to reign in glory with him. We also need to note here that our life is hidden in Christ, which is completely secure. There's nothing that can change that. Once we come to him, there's no power, no spirit, no circumstance that can ever change or ultimately harm us. We are presently hidden and secure in Christ. Man, that just should give us peace, that we are secure in Christ, and that there is a glorious future awaiting us. In verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear in him. The Apostle Paul, the prisoner, the traitor to the Jews, will be seen as Paul the Apostle, the servant to the King. The Colossians, many of whom were insignificant ex-pagans from a third-rate country town, will appear in Christ's glory. So will we. We will be raised with Christ and appear in glory with him. What a great position we hold in Christ, that we are now dead to our old life and raised with him, that in the present time our lives are hidden in him and secure, and that in the future we will be revealed with him and one day spend eternity with him in reign. Our new position in Christ requires a new passion, a new focus for Christ, for our lives to look different. It doesn't say it requires us to keep going the way we were. It says it requires a new passion, a new focus, a new direction. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When it refers to setting our minds on things above, here it refers to our place in our life's direction, the direction our lives is aimed. We are to be consumed by a passion to imitate Christ. Is this hard? Yes. But we have to be consumed by it. It's exciting that he has died and given up everything for us, that we are to have a passion to serve him, a desire to serve him, to love, to serve, to forgive, to even suffer, and to build for eternity. The aim of our heart is to be fixed on God and to avoid being entangled in the world here, to not be tempted. Not be tempted by money or fame or pleasure or sex or a comfortable holiday, a comfortable house. Christians have to be committed to a higher cause. We are not here to waste our lives. So what motivates you to do this? As we think of our life stories tonight, what motivates you to do this? What helps you to do this every day? Are you focused on things that matter to God? Or are you just being like everyone else? When you go to work, to TAFE, to school. Over time, we get busy in our lives and many things take the place of Jesus. This is so easy for it to happen without us even noticing. The thing that we need to remember is that our God is graceful and forgiving, and we need to be always coming back to the great thing that he has done for us, motivating ourselves, thinking about the sacrifice that he has made for us, the ultimate sacrifice. And we are to have that eternal perspective that we are not building for on this earth, that we are heading to an eternal place. Because of our focus is now on eternal things, God wants us to put to death sins we used to commit. In verses 5 to 11 it reads, put to death therefore what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual impurity, Sexual impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is adultery. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. We used to walk in these ways. In your life, walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must always also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and all is him. We have just moved into our new house up in Padstow Heights. We were really blessed. My wife Michelle is a gardener. She spent 9 years at Sydney Uni being a gardener. So she was super excited to have a house and get out there and weed out all the weeds and get the garden looking smick. So she was up the side of our house, and we had these weeds up the side of our house for about waist height, and they were those weeds, you know, with the little black things that when you walk through, you spend the next 5 hours picking them out of your socks and clothes. There was about 50 of these weeds up the side of our house, and she was up there pulling them out and piling them up, and my six-year-old son Jamie was there helping her, walking them to the green bin. And so he went, picked the first pile up, walked to the bin, put it in, and he came back and he said, "Mummy, are you all right?" She's like, yeah, I'm fine. He said, "These things are really spiky." And she's like, no, I'm fine. So he goes back, he does this 3 more times, and every time he comes back, he says, "Mummy, are you all right?" And then the last time he comes back, and he just looks at her, and he says, "Mummy, you know what? You're not all right." And she looked down, and she was covered in these spiky things. He could see that she was covered, and that she was just pushing through, not really being all right. This is often what we do in our sinful life. We know it's there, it's causing us damage, but we try and just push through anyway. Refusing to say that it's hurting us or hurting our lives with Christ, but we are really just covered in it. So as we look back at our life stories tonight, is there a time when you can think this was you? Or is this right now? Is that you? Is there a sin in your life that you are refusing to put to death? Is there a sin that you just don't want to look down and see? You have those spiky things in you and you just don't want to look down and deal with it, and you don't want to put it to death. Because if you don't, slowly but surely, it will kill you. This is a pretty heavy list of sins that Paul gives us here. I'm sure that we can all look down the list and see many of, or maybe all, that we have committed. But we have a gracious God, and Paul is wise here and tells us exactly what we should do with them. He doesn't mess around. He says we are to put them to death. We are not to just stop them when we're with our Christian friends. We are not to just stop them when we feel like it and then go back to them. We are to put them to death. So as we think of our life stories tonight, what is it? What sin is troubling you right now? Is it lust, lies, greed, anger, or something else? We need to be honest with our God and ask him to forgive us and change us so we can continue changing our life's direction and heading with him. Paul then calls us to take off our old selves and put on our new selves. I have this great friend of mine. He thought it was a brilliant idea to travel all around South America with just a bum bag. You know those fanny packs that went out in the 80s? All right, my dad used to have one, and I used to be so embarrassed when he'd go out wearing it, but he used to. My mate thought he'd bring it back into the year 2000 and go around South America just with one pair of underpants, a deodorant can, and his passport. All right, that's what he did. He did that for 3 weeks, and I feel like it's the same kind of image, the feeling that we get that Paul's talking about here, that when he got home and he must have whipped off that dirty shirt, had a shower and put on a new one. Paul is telling us here to take off the things that you are wearing. Take off that old life. Stop living how you once lived and start living for Christ. He then goes on to say that we are seen in the image of God. Christ is then seen in us. We are different. Christ has died and raised again. And this is great news, and we should show this and imitate this in our lives and be grateful that we now have peace with God And we are seen right through God's eyes because of Jesus. Again, think back to your own story. How have you been affected by what Christ has done for you? Have you really cast off that old stinky South American shirt you've been wearing around? Or has it started to creep back into your closet? And then have you started to wear it again just because it's easier? In verse 11 it reads, "Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and is in all." There is no one that cannot get to God because of Christ. We all have access to God because of Christ. That no matter where you come from, how you grew up, what your life story has been up to that point when you have changed God. It's so encouraging to hear Beck last week, her story and just the way her life has changed directions. Her strength is in her God. Her identity is in her God. And that is for us, that our identity is now in Christ. It doesn't matter who your parents were or the things you have been through in your life. Our identity is now in Christ. All goes out the window. We all have access to God. And we can now live freely in Him. As we are putting these sins to death, Paul then goes on to tell us about the new life that we should look like. We should be putting on Christ's characteristics. In verse 12 to 17 it says, Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And in all these things, all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as a member of one body, you are called to peace and to be thankful. Isn't the word therefore on the Bible always great? It's almost always saying, pay attention. It's important now, listen. If Luke's bored you right up to now it's a good time to get back on track and listening. Okay? Therefore, we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Our God is passionately in love with us. And He is asking us here to clothe ourselves in these things. It's a bit like my daughter Leah. She gets up every morning in her pajamas, runs in, and in her three-year-old attitude, and she flicks her head and she says, "What we do today, Daddy?" Every day, consistent, "What we do today, Daddy?" And I then go on to tell her maybe what she's doing, and then she's like, "Okay, let's get going." For no consideration that she's still in her pajamas, okay? In Colossians, we are called to clothe ourselves with patience, kindness, gentleness, and forgiveness. How often do we walk into life where we do not put on the right spiritual clothes? How often do we walk in and just charge on in without including Christ in our lives? How can we head to work, uni, school, and not put on patience, kindness, forgiveness? As Christians, we face things every day, and if we are clothed right, we will reflect the great things that Jesus has done for us. As you think back to your own stories tonight, are there places where you're not clothing yourself right? Do you need to make sure when you jump out of bed, like my Leah, that we're putting on Christ? These are the things that are outflow from Jesus. And because of what He has done for us, we are now called to be different and to live different. And as it says in verse 14, love binds it all together. As Christ loved us, we are to love in the same way. It goes on to say, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What Christ has done for you, give you peace. That we are made right with God and now have peace. Let that reflect in the way that we live and treat one another. The way we act. And then it says, be thankful. How can we not be thankful to God for sending Christ for us? How can our lives not be overflowing with thankfulness? Be grateful that we have new life, that we are redeemed through the sacrifice of Jesus for us. and let the word of Christ dwell in you, not only here at church, in home group, but in all we do, whether we're with believers or out in the world, let it flow out of our lives. And then lastly, it calls us to live right for him in verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. It says, whatever we do, not when it suits us, but all of the time. So as I finish now, I want us to be thinking back to our life stories so far. When you have came to Christ, have you really taken off your old life and put on Christ? Are you willing to be different and imitate Christ in all you do because of what he has done for us? May it be an outflowing of our lives, the love that Jesus has for us. May we show the world that our God is passionately in love with us, and we should be aching to love him back. When we look at ourselves, I want us to look down and smile and see Jesus, because we now have peace with God. The challenge is to be faithful in this, to trust God in this, because he has unveiled our lives and given us the great gift of grace. And for us to above all be thankful for the things he has done for us. I'm just going to ask the youth leaders band's going to come up and share an item with us now. I want us to take some time now to reflect on our life stories. I'm just going to leave a bit of silence for you guys to pray. Think back to your life stories. Think back, have we taken off our old lives? Are we heading that right direction with Jesus? Is it an outflowing of your life, the great sacrifice he has made for us, that we are living for him? And spend some time being thankful and praising God for these things. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for sending your Son for us, Lord. Help us to be strong in taking off our own lives, Lord. Putting on our new ones, Lord, in you. We seek your strength, Lord, to live as you called us to live, Lord, to imitate you. We thank you that you forgive us for all we do. We pray and bring the sins that we are struggling with now before you, Lord. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for strength, Lord. We ask for you to put the right people in our lives to help us to conquer them, Lord, so that we can head our new direction with you. We thank you for the peace that we now have with God. Help us to live with that eternal perspective, Lord, seeking you in all we do. We pray these things in your name.